You mentioned the combination of alemtuzumab and rituximab. Can you talk about what we know there in terms of both safety as well as efficacy?
Well, it's been interesting because it was put together predominantly by our group at MD Anderson on the basis that rituximab was very good at shrinking down lymph nodes, but not very good in bone marrow. And alemtuzumab was good in the marrow, not very good in lymph nodes. We thought that there are two antigen targets, the CD20 and the CD52, so that it's possible that the two antibodies together would have a greater effect. So we put together just a four-week program with four dose conventional doses of rituximab and twice a week alemtuzumab just for 4 weeks. And you might expect perhaps a 20-25% partial response rate, whereas with the 4 weeks of treatment, about 40% of patients will get a partial remission, and some of them, perhaps 5-10%, a complete remission. My thought is that without direct proof, is that the drugs are greater than additive and probably they're functioning synergistically in this circumstance. And the advantage is that the whole truncated course is over in 4 weeks, so that patients get very rapid responses and there doesn't appear to be any additional toxicity with the combination over and above what you might see with alemtuzumab by itself and rituximab by itself. We've looked at it in two different protocols, one where the alemtuzumab was given in a conventional fashion, and more recently, we've actually, for the first week, given a continuous infusion. And it's quite surprising how, after the first 24 hours of the alemtuzumab, it really is very, very simple, and the patients have very few side effects from it. So we're using it in a non-protocol situation. We're going to be developing a protocol with these two agents together with high-dose corticosteroids, in that there's increasing evidence, particularly from Europe, that high-dose steroids are very potent in decreasing massive lymph nodes, so that this makes the alemtuzumab better. And there's also data generated by David Maloney and Tom Kipps that high-dose steroids make rituximab better. So this is a protocol that we'll be putting in place in the next little while. I think the future of, again, bendamustine will probably not be by itself, but the question which will come up will be, can bendamustine replace cyclophosphamide in FCR and become FBR? And I think that there are already studies that are being put in place without having had adequate trialing, in my opinion, but we'll do a study such as that in relapse patients at MD Anderson and see if we move it up front on the basis of good tolerance and efficacy.